This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Welcome back. This is episode 470 of the NYYST podcast. We're presented by NYY Underground. I am your host, Christian, and I'm with my co-host, Chris.
You.
We are back, the OGs of NYYST. We're back here on this Monday evening. Chris, what's up, bro?
What's up, dude? I don't know. The last show I did was with SGR, so we'd have to go even back. We have to go back even further than when was that? November?
November, bro. Wow. It's probably been November since the two of us have just sat down and clicked record on a podcast here. How you been, bro? Catch everybody up, because I know, like you said, last time you were on, it was a big group. We were doing Fred, so. You know, you want to tell the fans kind of what you've been up to, or
no,
you want to tell them to go fuck themselves?
Yeah, pretty much, dude. It's been, my life has been nonstop, but I just, like, you know, when the season first starts, you probably don't know this because you think you're a better fan than I am, but like when the season first starts, it can be difficult sometimes, especially with the injuries to like Cole and stuff. Like, obviously opening day, opening series, but then shit kind of gets in the way a little bit. I, for the first couple weeks, didn't watch as much baseball, like as much Yankee baseball. It's probably since I was maybe 10 years ago that I had watched that little of the first like couple weeks, but now I'm back into it. Now I'm full swing again.
I could tell, bro, and I think the fans, they miss what we had, and I'm not saying that anybody is, you know, down on the show now, but there was a certain level of magic that we had together, and it's good to for you to pop in every once in a while here and say hello, and
our friendship thrived and grew on our hatred for each other during the show. I think,
yeah, we were just talking before we clicked record, man. Like, we had some real bloodbaths on the show, me and you. And
then it would be like, we would end it, and then you'd be like, that was a good show.
Yeah, no, for sure. And, but, I don't know how you feel about this weekend here, but, I was a little down on this team this weekend. I felt like the Yankees, they kind of... This was a big I'm struggling for the words here, and I apologize to everybody here. So let me just get this out of the way, and then maybe it'll come to me here in a second. If you are listening to us on your favorite podcast platform, which you have to be because this is an audio-only show this week, and I teased a big surprise on the show when we were live on NYYU on Thursday. So hopefully you did click subscribe and you're not missing Chris's return to the show here. So while you're here, please leave us a 5-star rating and review. And if you just happen to just ponder upon the show here, you know, subscribe to the show and tell everybody NYYST is the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. I'm going to cringe when I listen back to this tomorrow because I hate when I kind of get lost in what I want to say here.
You're starstruck, bro, because I'm back.
I am. You're back. You know, it's, you know what it is? You get into a, we did, this is the ninth season of this show, right? 17, 18, 19, 20, 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, ninth season of this show. And you and I had this thing down pat to the point where we could have just, you know, rolled out of bed, clicked record, and done a show. And, you know, that's 8 years. And then, yeah. You know, now I've gotten accustomed to how things go with Sem here, and Sem's at a bachelorette party down in Nashville.
A bachelorette party? I mean, I wouldn't put it past him.
He actually, for his wife's birthday, took her to go see Darius Rucker.
Oh, nice.
So, but I was busting his balls that he was going to a bachelorette party because I hear that's like a big destination for a bachelorette.
It is. My wife went to one there.
Oh, and you let her go, bro?
Yeah, dude. I'm that's lucky she came back.
Little sketch right there, bro. It's a little sketch.
But you want to know something? You were just bringing this up. Then we'll get to what people want to hear. But like you just said, how it took us like, you know, by the end, we could just do it with our fucking eyes closed.
I think the fans missed it, though, too, you know?
Yeah.
I think they miss it.
You remember when we first started? Not only did we not do live shows, but we used to record and mess up, and we'd have to, like, pause the show and redo it, and redo some of it. Do you remember that? Like, it even took a while for us to get through a full recorded show to know that, like, we can fuck up and just be ourselves and...
You know this because you're still producing the show, is that you'll go into the Zoom and there'll be three recordings.
Yes. Because well, that's different, though.
Because sometimes I just can't get through the open.
But that's different because I'm also producing it and I'm not sitting there. So if you fuck up and then you have to tell me where it starts and it's just easier to go. But yeah, it takes a while, man. What Sem's doing is not easy. Just hopping in cold when the show's established already, you know, and there's people in the live and all of that. It's tough.
No, and I think, you know what, you know, I love my cousin to death. The show is only still alive because of him and him agreeing to do this. So, you know, obviously I thank him for it, but it is obviously a different dynamic. And like I said, man, like the way I do the show with him is different than the way we did the show together, and not saying one is better than the other. It's just that when the fans turned the show on today and I was stumbling like a bumbling idiot, it's because like, oh.
You got to find it.
I got to find it again, man. Now, you know, now it's like now that we've been on here for a couple minutes, it's like riding a bike and we'll just jump right into it here. We're recording here Monday night. It's a little past 8:30. Yanks are enjoying an off day after a 6-3 West Coast trip. You know, if I sat you down when this long West Coast trip started and told you the Yankees were going 6-3, you're taking it. You're going to sign for it. I mean, there's no way that you're not. It's just that when you break down the 6-3, it leaves a little bit of a sour taste in your mouth because one of the losses was to the Colorado Rockies, who are 9-50.
And they just got swept by the Mets, right? Like, this is brutal. This is historic.
I just don't, that's just one of those things that I just can't get past. I know we discussed it on the show last week that they lost to the friggin' Rockies, but it's just like, I can't get that out of my brain that the Yankees actually lost the game to the Rockies. But you know what? I didn't think they were going to sweep Anaheim. They swept Anaheim, so they made up for it. So they went into LA 5-1, which is what I wanted them to be going into LA. So I'm okay with that. I kind of put that loss past me because I think they made up for it in Anaheim. My problem with the Yankees is that I put a lot of emphasis on this series. I don't know if you did. We didn't really talk about it, but I felt like this was a big chance for the Yankees to kind of show everybody who they are. If that they were 15 games over 500, they were at that point going into the Dodgers series.
Yeah.
If that was pumped up or inflated by playing in a mediocre American League. And they went out there on Friday, and it looked like that they were for real. You know, they hit four home runs in the first three innings. They're up five. They're up 5-2 going into the third inning. They stopped scoring. Excuse me, which was the problem, but they still had a 5-2 lead in the sixth inning with Max Fried on the hill. And then the Dodgers like just hit the gas and smoked right past them. And you know what? And I said this, that even if the Yankees went on to lose the series and lost the second two games, that was the game the Yankees really needed. They needed to come out and make a statement with Max Fried on the mound that we can, you know, get past everything that happened last year. Because, you know, you don't get to change the champion. You know, it's not like a combat sport where, you know, you have a rematch and you win and you get the title. No. The Dodgers are still the champions. And everybody acknowledges that. Nothing that the Yankees would have done in this series would have changed the fact that Dodgers won the World Series. But it would have changed the Yankees' perception amongst fans around the league that they are a different team than they were last year. Because the Yankees got clowned in that World Series. And you could say that, you know, the Dodgers were better, which, yeah, I think we can all kind of agree the Dodgers were better. But the Yankees also...
The Yankees beat themselves still.
Like I was, yeah, exactly. The Yankees also actively aided in helping the Dodgers win the World Series last year. I think two things can be true at one time. You and I always say that on this show. Two things can be true at the same time. The Dodgers were better, and the Yankees also aided the Dodgers in winning that World Series.
Yes.
The Yankees spent all offseason trying to convince you that they were different, that this was a different team, that they were going to be better in the areas that they were deficient in that were exposed in a Dodgers series. And the first opportunity the Yankees had to do that, the Dodgers said, no, you guys are still, you know, second class to us.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I'm not putting like too much on the series in that sense. Yes, it would have been nice. It would have made us feel better. But I don't think that this series, like, I'm not walking away from it like, oh, you know, they didn't get better. They're not, you know, this, that. But here's the thing. It was literally the perfect storm for this team because you had so many different factors, right? The first thing is you have your ace on the mound. The second thing is you get off to, what was it, 5-0 at one point? 5-1?
They were up 4-1.
It was
5-2 was what.
Yeah, because it was 2-2 at one point, I believe. And then, because Judge hit the home run, then Ohtani did, of course.
Yeah,
then it was 2-2. I think maybe Grisham might have had one. And then they broke it open a little bit, which 5-2 to me is breaking it open when you have Fried on the mound because he's been brilliant. So you get that good feeling, like, here it is, just like you said. And then Fried kind of implodes for the first time all year. You can't, you know, it sucks to see against the Dodgers, but you can't really blame the guy. He's not going to be perfect every time out. But the worst part to me was that happens, and then the next day, before I even have a time to get settled and turn the game on, I look at my phone and it's 10-1.
Yeah, they got absolutely boat raced on Saturday.
And you look at it like in this sense of like, okay, they could have taken that, swallowed it, and really showed that at the very least, this series could have, what you could have taken away was, okay, they lost the tough one, but they're going to bounce back and embarrass them back. And they got embarrassed. And it was just a shit feeling. And then Yarbrough throws a great game, but in a sense, you're just like, you know, the Yankees lost their first series in a long time, and it was to the Dodgers, and they got fucking embarrassed.
That was the first series they lost since May 2nd to the 4th against Tampa.
I mean, again, everything isolated on its own, you can walk away and say fine, but when you put everything together, you almost got a knot in your stomach. Because it was the Dodgers, because this is the first time they're meeting up again, because you have to listen to the awful announcers, because you have to listen to Ohtani's name over and over again. And it just, it was brutal because it's bad enough that you have to listen to all that bullshit. And then on top of it, the Dodgers are coming out and pretty much making a statement against you.
But this is what the series meant to me, is that the Yankees are still not ready to challenge the Dodgers.
I don't think that's true.
Why? Tell me why.
Because it's a span of three games in the middle of the season, right? It's not even trade deadline time. This team isn't fully.
But how much different do you think the Yankees are going to look at the trade deadline?
But here's the thing. It's not October. In October, it's so much different. And I get what you're saying, but it's still fairly early in the season, enough where I'm not going to let a three-game stretch, you know, convince me that the Yankees,
I think there's
can't
still
go back and beat them in another three-game series.
Right, they can go. Look, I'm not saying the Yankees can't. If we were fortunate enough to get back there, I'm not saying the Yankees can't, but I think this still shows that the Yankees are not as good as the Dodgers are.
Well, and again, I'm just going to poke a hole in what you're saying. How many times is Max Fried going to do that? How many times? It's not going to happen often.
Yeah, but it happened.
Give him the ball again, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, but it happened to
with the Dodgers. But what I'm saying is, like, Max Fried pitches like Max Fried has all year. The Yankees walk away with a series win, and you're feeling completely different.
Yeah, this is exactly almost the feeling that you have with Gerrit Cole on the mound in Game 5. Like, how did you let that get away from you when you have your ace on the hill?
Well, to be fair, it wasn't him. This was more Max Fried than you.
I understand that, but that's still what I'm saying is your ace is on the hill. Three runs with your ace on the hill in the sixth inning is a significant lead to me. I'm sorry.
Yes. It is.
It's still that the Dodgers just seem like they turned on a switch and just went right past the Yankees Friday night.
Max Fried has been so good that a 1 or 2 nothing lead has made you feel like they're in a great position to win.
And I'm not saying I'm not ripping Max Fried. I don't want anybody to think that. I'm still fully in love with the guy. And why did it have to be against the Dodgers?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying to you though. Is like, I get it, but that's not going to happen often.
And also, come on, be honest with me. When you're watching a game last night, when have you ever felt uncomfortable with the Yankees up 6-1 in the seventh inning?
Well, to be fair, I didn't get home till 10 o'clock last night, so I wasn't. I was following on my phone the score and stuff, but I actually didn't even get home in time for you to text me and say, "Now Weaver." So that's how detached I was last night.
Up 6-1 in the seventh inning, bro. Especially after the first home run that Loaisiga gave up, I'm like, they're losing this game. I've never had that feeling about the Yankees, but that's what the Dodgers do.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they're a powerhouse.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
And I said this on the last episode, like, the Dodgers are going to get bored with the day-to-day of 162. They weren't bored this weekend.
Yeah. And you know what? This is what you can say. Like, if you want, you can't convince me that the Yankees can't beat them and that they're not better equipped to beat them right now. But what you can say for sure is that the Yankees are a good team that playing together and playing good baseball are a great team. And the Dodgers are just a fucking powerhouse. There's just no other way to put it. You can't make mistakes off of them, with them. You can't give them extra outs. You can't get behind in counts. You just can't, because they can take a 6-1 lead and they can turn it on its face and be winning before you could even take a piss and walk back to your bed.
If you remember back to the Sunday night against the Mets, I don't think Max Fried had his best stuff, but he got through that game and the Yankees won. I think he had similar type outing on Friday night where he didn't have his best stuff, but that's what the deal is with the Dodgers. You can't go into that series. You can't face the Dodgers and not be and have your A-plus stuff, because yeah, they will beat you.
Well, really, you can make the argument, and I don't know if you feel this way. I'm not saying Max Fried hasn't been phenomenal, but I feel like more times than not, maybe he takes a little while to like really get going. Maybe in the warmer months now, the weather's been shit. Maybe in the warmer months now, I don't know. I could be wrong. I could have just maybe only paid closer attention to certain games, but I feel like quite often I'm saying like Fried isn't fully on, but he's still an ace and getting the job done. And like, that's not going to work against the Dodgers.
There's been a few starts where Fried, I felt like he didn't get his control until like the third or fourth.
And that's fine, because an ace can hone it in and still. How many times did we say Sabathia didn't have his best stuff when he was in his prime and he just knew how to still put teams away? That's fine. That's going to happen. That's what makes you an ace. But like you said, that can't happen when you're showing up in LA against the Dodgers for the first time since they embarrassed you in your home ballpark. In the World Series.
Look, I don't think that the Yankees are done. This is still one of the two best teams in the American League. The Tigers,
well, that's not saying much.
Well, but this is what people are, they're compounding the two things by me putting a lot of emphasis on this series, and then they automatically think that I think that the season's over. I don't. The Yankees are going to win the American League East. They might win the American League East by 10 or more games.
When's the last time that happened, by the way?
Again, you're right. It does not really saying much, because now we have a new second place team. It's Toronto's Toronto's back up there, I think.
Yeah.
It's like whoever get, like I said this, it's like Toronto, Tampa, Boston, whoever wins a few in a row, they're the second place team. But the Yankees are fine. They're in a great spot. They're going to be one of the two best teams in the American League. They're going to stay out of the wild card series. And you know, you just have to see how they match up against Detroit come postseason time. I think that's what is going to be roadblock number one for the Yankees. So I don't think that this series, the Yankees losing a series, and especially the way the first two games played out, means that the Yankees are cooked, because they're not. What it means to me is that I needed to see the Yankees go out there and prove something on the field against the Dodgers. And what they proved was that they're just not there right now. And you got to remember, Chris, the Dodgers threw two guys in the first two games of the series that if they're all healthy, they're in the minor leagues.
Yeah. Well,
They put up 26 runs in two games. They didn't even have Mookie Betts.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. You want to know what I was just thinking? You would know this more than me. When's the last time we've sat here in June? And I'm not saying the division's over by any means. It can turn in one series. Yankees get swept and the second place team, whether it's Toronto, Boston, whoever, sweeps. The division's right back in play. But when's the last time we've even had this comfortable of a lead in June? Honestly.
I heard a stat. It was somewhere in the Angels series. The lead was up to 7.
Yeah.
And that was the largest lead they had on that date in May since 1998.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, how many times have the Yankees finally had a dominant team? And you look at the standings, they're like a half a game up because there's – not saying the AL East is always all stacked, but there's always just one team, whether it's the Sox, the Orioles, whoever, that are just neck and neck with them.
Look, we've given Brian Cashman a lot of shit over the years, especially in the last few years, but I do think that he's done a good job with this team this year.
Yeah. He definitely did a better job than I thought. Did the Orioles manager lose his job yet?
I think he got fired a couple weeks ago.
Oh, he did? I meant to look it up. I haven't been fully in tune. But I just keep looking at it. I'm like, what is going on over there, man?
He got fired on May 17th.
How did that organization finally take a turn for the better and then just implode?
Because they don't spend money and they have zero starting pitching. That's why. This is what I warned Yankee fans about when they say Hal needs to sell the team. How long did the Orioles fans say that they needed somebody to sell the team? Did it get any better over there? Because they're still not.
You can argue it got worse because you had so many young guys come up. You were so excited for the first time in how many years. And then now it's worse. This is worse.
We know what Hal is willing to do. Somebody can come in here and not be willing to do that much. Mm-hmm. Now, there could be somebody coming in here and we're willing to do more. But we don't have to get to talk about this again. I'm very comfortable with the amount of money Hal Steinbrenner spends on his baseball team. I really don't think you need to have a $400 million payroll to win a championship.
I think teams have proven that you don't.
But we've really given Cashman a hard time, but I do think that he's done a good job with this team this year because, like, this was a – and I don't know how much of the show you listen to while you produce it. There's somebody's name is banned on this show, so we're going to talk around it right now. We don't say it anymore after the Mets series. I'm sure you can put one and one together right now.
Yep.
It was the wrong market. It was the wrong market to lose a superstar in.
Yeah.
I think he did a good job. Cody Bellinger, since the late April, has been the Cody Bellinger that I have expected. He's been in a little bit of a downturn this past week, but ebbs and flows, right? Paul Goldschmidt is hitting .333 on the season. What did we say? He was hitting like .570 against left-handed pitching?
.513, I think you said.
.513? It's ridiculous. Didn't you say when you agreed that you were going to come on tonight, you wanted to jerk yourself off talking about Paul Goldschmidt?
I did. You can thank me for Goldschmidt because I very intentionally pulled the reverse Chrissy Jinx and said he'd be the worst decision that the Yankees can make. But to be fair, and I'm not saying Cashman didn't do a good job because they're producing and, you know, it's such a shame that Cole had to get hurt this year and we're not going to get to see him, you know. Yeah, next year we'll see him with Fried, fine. But he's also going to be a year older and a year removed from pitching.
And we might not ever see this version of Carlos Rodon again either.
Exactly. So that's a real shame, and that's obviously not Cashman's fault. You can make the argument that the Yankees maybe had an idea that this could happen, and that's why they were so aggressive with getting a guy like Fried when we kind of weren't really expecting that move. But my biggest thing with Cashman, I mean, and I'm not taking credit away from him. I'm giving him credit. This team is playing very well, and they're much more enjoyable than I thought. But the thing with Cashman is, like, yeah, I mean, any any good GM, because I'm going to call him that right now. He's earned that just based on his history. Maybe not over the last handful of years, but any good GM can put a team together based off of what they think they're going to get out of guys and knowing the potential. But my biggest thing with Cashman has always been taking the path of like a safety net. Like, I thought Goldschmidt was not the right move at the time. And you can't convince me that Cashman sat there and said, no, he is the best man for the job. No, he didn't. He had to go to Goldschmidt. It was the only move that made sense. And it was the right move to make in the position he put himself in. And it's working out right now.
Well, out of all the first basemen that played musical chairs this year, Goldschmidt's by far the best.
Yes, he is. But that could change too. You know what I'll say about Goldschmidt? He's much better defensively than and I always knew he was great defensively. He's much better than I thought he was over there. You can argue that he changes, and Rizzo is a great defensive first baseman, but he changes the dynamic. I mean, he's good over there.
He's better than what Rizzo gave
them over the last couple of years.
Even defensively over last year,
he's better
than what. But that's the thing with Goldschmidt, right? We said that the bar was don't be the worst first baseman in baseball.
Right.
That was the bar for the Yankees. So,
which kind of proves my point of like.
So they could have really.
That's the move. Exactly.
But I think the Yankees did see something in Paul Goldschmidt based on how he finished the season last year.
Yeah. And then fine. You want to give him credit for that? Yeah, of course.
And, you know, I think Cody Bellinger was the logical move for the Yankees. I mean, like you said.
Yes.
I honestly don't think you're going to get a superstar trade blockbuster deal done with the Yankees and Astros. That's why, you know, the whole Kyle Tucker thing, as much as we talked about it, I don't think that was ever going to happen with the Yankees and Astros. Not without the Yankees getting, you know, bent over a barrel. And we know Brian Cashman's not doing that, especially with an organization he has contempt for.
Yeah, in the moment, it stung, though. I mean, in the moment, you want
to... But he went to the Cubs, so it's not like he's in, you know, he's going to be... If we have to deal with Kyle Tucker in the postseason, I'll sign for that right now, because it means we're back in the World Series.
Yeah.
But the big move was Max Fried, and you can't tell me that. With the way things have broken down, you know, having another outfielder, you know, is... As great as that guy is, Max Fried is more is proven to be more valuable to this Yankee team than him.
Well, I got to say, given the pieces they brought in, no one's replacing Juan Soto. And I don't care what he's doing this year. He'll be fine. No one's replacing him. But the moves Cashman made offensively, when you put the pieces together, there's a good dynamic to this lineup. And that's what you like. And then you could really argue, man, Max Fried was one of the best, most surprising and best signings Cashman's made in a long time. And I'm not including Cole, because Cole wasn't as much of a surprise, that you knew he was going after him. But Max Fried kind of fell in our laps like just a couple days before it actually happened, no? We didn't end the season last year and then go and we weren't immediately going, yep, Max Fried, that's the guy.
Well, because we knew what the Yankees were doing. We knew what plan A was.
Right.
And then it seemed like that the backup plan was supposed to be Blake Snell. And thank God that didn't happen.
Right. Well, we were against that for a while until I think I was more on board with it after we got Fried, because Cole went down, and then I wanted Snell more.
No, Snell signed before. Snell signed before our old right fielder did.
No.
Yes, that's why the Yankees pivoted even further. The Yankees told Blake Snell that they couldn't commit to him until they knew what happened. Oh,
right. That's what it was.
And he wanted to sign. He signed with the Dodgers.
What it was when Cole went down? That's when I think I was just pissed that they didn't just...
Well, Cole went down in spring training. So yeah. this was This team could even look for even more differently than they do now, because really, if the Yankees had what they really wanted to do, it was supposed to be Blake Snell and Willy Adames.
Yeah. Adames, I forgot about that move that they were.
I never really liked that from the beginning, and he's not having a great year with San Francisco so far, but. So I don't know, man. I'm a little upset with the team right now, you know, because
it's not the feeling you want to have.
Like we recorded it on Thursday, when we did the show on Thursday, like I said, even if the Yankees lost the series, what I wanted to see more than anything was for them to play clean baseball. Give me a clean 27 innings. If you lose, you lose. Like, I can live with the Dodgers being, you know, beating you, but, you know, have them beat you, but to be in that fashion just showed the gap between the Dodgers and Yankees right now, that they just with your ace on the hill in the sixth inning and a 3-run lead, they just ran right past the Yankees.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, they're a powerhouse.
And then the Yankees didn't even, like, it was like the Yankees didn't even show up on Saturday night.
That's where you got me, and that was my point before of like, yeah. You know, game one was bad enough, but then this team shows up and gets embarrassed in game two before you even have time to put the game on. And it's like, that's what bothers me more than anything.
And I know you're not a big Will Warren guy, but that game was very upsetting to me in the fact that he had really looked like he was ready. He was taking the next step. And then
I still think he has, though.
And it's just not, he was non-competitive in that game.
Yeah. Hey, look, just as much as, like, you know, mentally we see this series as bigger than it is, these guys aren't invincible and they're not, you know, immune to that either. It's just, you know, and I'm not saying that's why Fried imploded, but like a guy like Will Warren, man, he goes out there and he's on a stage where he really wants to prove himself. He wants to be here. You know, he still wants to be the option when the Yankees have other options to choose over him, and that's a big game for him, and he didn't show up in the worst way.
He shouldn't even have finished the first inning. I still don't know what Aaron Boone was thinking, leaving him in there to face Ohtani with the bases loaded.
You know, they're always worried about the – if I have to see bullpen budget, like, that pisses me off so much.
Yeah. But
that's all they're worried about.
Yeah, the bullpen budget, right? And then you use your closer down 18-1, and now he couldn't pitch on Sunday night because he's in the hamstring. We're still waiting word on what's going on with Luke Weaver, but Boone said, because the Yankees grabbed that seventh run to go up 4, and in the ninth inning on Sunday night, and Boone said that he was still going to Weaver up 4, but while warming up, Weaver felt something in the hamstring, and it was enough where Boone couldn't use him.
I don't think it's – I hope I'm right. From what I read, it doesn't sound too concerning. Sounds like they're going to be extremely cautious. But I think he'll be fine.
Well, the Yankees are going to be in a lot of trouble if they don't have Luke Weaver at the back end of this bullpen, because I'm done watching Devin Williams try to close baseball games for the Yankees.
It's painful, man. And how good has he looked in the setup slot?
So the Yankees can't go back. Let's say even if a short-term thing with Weaver and he needs 2 weeks, right? You can't go to Devin Williams for those 2 weeks.
Who do you go to?
Well, that's the question. Where do the Yankees go? Because, you know, Loaisic has only pitched 6 or 7 times this year.
Yeah, but this is where we've seen it time and time again where Cashman's ego gets the best of him. And, you know, yeah, he struggles in the closer spot, but they're paying him how much money to be a closer? And I'm telling you right now, Cashman and Boone's going to give you in the media.
Well, it's more so, it's not about the money, because I think he's only making like $7 or $8 million this year. It's more so that this was a big trade that Cashman made. So that's where the ego would probably come in. But after the game in Anaheim, man, I don't know how anybody in the Yankees can sit there and say, oh, we can try this again. You would have to go.
I got to be honest with you. Those games I used to love late, and I still stay up for them, and I do enjoy them. But that game was to a point where I was like, you know what? It was what, 3-1?
They were up 3-0, actually.
3-0, and I was like, it's the fucking Angels. They're completely dead right now. I don't think I have to worry about this one. And then right before I started to close my eyes, I'm like, but let me just check. And now I'm like 3-2, and there's runner on third or whatever it was, and I saw Devin Williams pitching. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to have to turn this fucking game back on. And then before I can turn around, he got out of it.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, though, is where would the Yankees go? Is the easiest thing for them to do is to just, you know, we're speculating.
Those are by committee.
We're speculating right now because, like we said, we don't have any new information as we're recording this on Luke Weaver. But isn't the easiest thing for the Yankees to do in their mind just to give it back to Williams?
It's not just the easiest thing for them to do. It is the thing they're going to do. I promise you that you're going to get the boon. Devin Williams is an elite closer. This guy was brought over here to do this. He can do it. And then Williams can go out there and blow 10 more games, and he's going to tell you he's right there. This is his job. He's going to step up. He's our guy. And they're going to keep saying that over and over until Weaver's back and ready to pitch.
But I just don't know what the Yankees' viable option is. Because do they want to put the stress of being a closer on Loaisica, given he hasn't really pitched in 2 years and he's got a handful of appearances under his belt right now?
Well, the Yankees fans know more than anyone that even the best pitchers, even the best relief pitchers, are different in the ninth inning. And it takes a special mind to become an elite closer.
I mean, geez, we saw that with Dellin Betances all those years ago.
Right. I mean, that's kind of what I'm alluding to here. And you factor in that we got to watch the greatest closer of all time do it in his sleep. And there's a lot of emphasis as a Yankee fan growing up, you know, through the Mariano Rivera years on the closing role. And we just like shortstop will always be that to us because of Jeter, that we always kind of emphasize what that role means. And so we know better than anyone that it's not meant for just any old pitcher to go out there, which is why Luke Weaver, you know, he didn't just go from being some bum pitcher to being good as a Yankee. He went from being a bum to pretty much saying he was never going to pitch again, to coming to the Yankees, to becoming pretty elite, and then becoming an outstanding closer in pinstripes. That doesn't happen often. So this closer by committee almost does work sometimes because it's not putting that title on a guy. But at the end of the day, man, just gave you an at the end of the day.
I know you did.
At the end of the day, you got to be able to rely on Devin Williams. I mean, you have to. This guy, the excuse can't be he can't pitch in the ninth inning. He was one of the best closers in baseball last year. So something's got to change here. And if it's a mental thing, he needs to figure that out. Like, this can't be – this is where I'm kind of, you know, on the Yankee side of, it should be Devin Williams. This guy was a fucking elite – he wasn't just a good closer. He was an elite closer. And it's like ever since he gives up that home run to Alonso – he hasn't been the same guy in the ninth inning.
Yeah, I brought that up, man. It's just like he gave up the home run. Then, you know, he was really like on the goal line of becoming a Dodger. And then Cashman got in there and got that trade done.
Yep.
So now it's like, oh, I'm a Dodger. Now I'm a Yankee. And then, you know, he pouted about the friggin' beard. And we know what happened with that. So I'm not saying any of these are excuses, but you could see how things might have gone awry here for him, but I don't know. Hopefully this is just, you know, us killing a couple minutes on the show here and not something we actually have to think about, because I think the Yankees are going to be in a little bit of trouble here if they don't have Luke Weaver in the ninth inning, because, you know, I think the bullpen, and you got to remember, Fernando Cruz is still on the IL, who's been really good for them as well. So that's another, you know, that's another rung of the ladder of that bullpen that's out. So, the Yankees, I'm interested in seeing. I don't want to, you know, fast forward because I hate when those pass, but I really do want to get closer to the trade deadline because I want to see what the Yankees are actually going to do with this team. Because we all know that the Yankees need an infielder. Although DJ LeMay, you had a four-hit game last night. So who the hell knows what the Yankees are thinking now? You know, and then what do they think they need? Do they think they need high-end starting pitching, or do they think that they need starting pitching for depth? I think they need starting pitching for depth, because your top two is not going to change, health dependent, obviously, of Fried and Rodon. And then if Heel's back and, you know, healthy.
What's going on with him?
I think he threw off a mound the other day. So he's throwing, but he's still, you know, he's going to have to go through basically a full spring training. Excuse me. So he's back. He's healthy. I think he's the logical number three. Wouldn't you say so?
I would really hope so, man. The dude was, what, even rookie of the year?
Yeah, he won rookie of the year last year.
I mean, he was pretty much, for the bulk of his games, was just lights out.
And then you know you only need four starters in the postseason. So do you feel comfortable with Schmidt being the four?
Well, I think the biggest answer to this question, we can speculate all we want right now, but we're speculating on a level where Rodon has been truly just the Rodon that we've been waiting for. But I really think this could switch on a dime of, like, if Rodon is struggling as we get closer to the trade deadline, you're going to have PTSD with him. You're not going to sit there. If his three starts leading up to the trade deadline, he's starting to regress a little bit, your priority is immediately going to switch to starting pitching, an elite starting pitcher.
You really think that? So you think the Yankees are going to think that?
Yeah, I do. I do, because
I think they believe in what Rodon is doing. I believe in what Rodon is doing.
You know? I think so too, but I think it's going to be a lot quicker and easier to start to doubt him if he starts to fall off as they get closer because of what he's done in the past.
I think this is honestly, and I might be trying to talk myself into this, and you've heard me rip him enough times to know what my feelings were about him coming into the season. I think this is a different guy.
Oh, it's 100%. It's the Carlos Rodon we signed up for. I mean, he's completely locked in. He's not just completely locked in. He's got balls back on him. He pretty much told Boone to go fuck himself the other night, and he went out there and he struck the next guy out and got through it.
You believe in Ryan Yarbrough?
No.
You think this is a flash in the pan?
It's because you want to know why. He's shown you that he can be, you know, when he's on, he's great.
He's a good start. He's a good major league pitcher.
Yes, but and when he's on, he's great. But when he's not on, he's a guy that is going to get destroyed, and the Yankees can't rely on that.
You're not even entertaining him getting a start in the postseason.
No, I don't think you can, unless he gets more consistent of showing me that when he is dominant, it's not just a fluke. I think that he needs to really, I mean, he's got to have a really decent stretch for me, you know, towards the, you know, latter end of the season for me to say, okay, maybe this guy's legit. The Yankees do need one more pitcher, and you're hoping it's Heel. When he comes back, that he's going to go back to being the guy that was there last year. The Yankees need one more starting pitcher that you can sit there and say, like, okay, for example, last year, Carlos Rodon was a disappointment, but he was still a guy in the postseason that you didn't hand the ball to and just go, this is over. You knew he was still good enough and was on a good enough stretch where you felt comfortable at least that you'd be able to get through four innings and still be in the game. With Yarbrough, when he's not on, I'm telling you, you're not getting through an inning or two.
We have not seen him not be on, though, as a Yankee.
We'll see. Like I said, things are still early. How many times have we seen Nestor Cortes be filthy all year and then towards the last 2 months, he doesn't have anything.
That might be a fair comparison, but the Yankees have given Nestor Cortez the ball plenty of times in October.
Yeah, until the until one time too many.
But I think that how far the Yankees go up the ladder in terms of high-end starting pitching is really dependent on how healthy Luis Gil is.
I don't think it has to be high-end. I think you need a guy. Here's a great example. We've always said how many times Jordan Montgomery became a guy who, yeah, he was a fifth starter, but you knew he got to a point for you where every time he went out there, even if he wasn't the most dominant pitcher, he was going to keep you in a game. That's the type of guy that the Yankees need. And to prove my point, he actually did it in the postseason for the Rangers and became their ace and pitched them to a World Series.
Yeah, he was better than he ever was with the Yankees in that postseason run.
But my point is, he wasn't a guy that jumped off the page at you, but he was a guy that when you look at start after start, yeah, you weren't going to get your 8-inning shutouts and 13 strikeouts, but you also weren't going to get your 3 innings of 8 runs and whatever where you're relying on your bullpen. He was a guy who you can rely on.
I do think the Yankees are going to be in that market. I just don't know how – I just don't know what fans are expecting, but I – because honestly, I don't know what is out there right now, to be honest with you, like in terms of top-end starting pitching talent. And if they're out there, you know that's going to come with a hefty price tag, and everybody and their mother's going to be in on it. So,
well, part of that – I mean, part of that argument is – yeah, you're going to have to look at the market and see what's realistic, because I personally, at least right now, would rather them go after an elite third baseman or a guy that you can throw over there who's going to add to this lineup.
Well, they have a third baseman, and his name is Josh Chisholm. So that's – there you go. I mean, that's just
– they're going to put him back at third?
Yeah, he's been playing third in his rehab assignment. I know. I'm not exactly thrilled about this either. The Yankees made it a point to shore up the defense. And part of that was putting Jazz back at second base, and now he's rehabbing as a third baseman. And Boone is going to. He might be even. I don't know. Maybe tomorrow or when sometime on his home stand, Jazz will be back, and he's going to be playing third base. I speculated on this on the last show that I think the Yankees are doing that because I don't think. They think they can get a third baseman, and maybe the middle infield market, specifically second base, might be more agreeable to them.
Yeah. I don't know, man. You know the Yankees, they're stubborn. Like you said, you know, DJ gets a four-hit game, and then you go, what are the Yankees going to think now? And it's almost like when you always say the Giants winning that playoff game or whatnot, that 1 year was the worst thing that could have happened to the franchise because it ultimately set them back. Like, I feel like DJ does that.
It did. It restarted LeMayu's clock.
Exactly. I feel like he does it all the time. And then we start to, you know, idiotically think we can rely on this guy. He still plays a phenomenal defense. I mean, he's amazing out there, but there's no arguing he lost a big step offensively. He could have 5 more 4-hit games in a row, and I'm still not going to sit here and say he's the answer.
No, the Yankees.
But the Yankees are.
The Yankees need another right-handed bat.
Yeah.
And it might come in the form of Giancarlo Stanton.
Oh, yeah.
But the problem with that is that it's going to – I don't know what you do in that situation because Ben Rice has got to be in the lineup.
Yeah. I mean, how good is he, man? First of all, he's just fucking huge now. Like he looks like a last year he was like some scrawny loser.
Well, he put on like 10 pounds of muscle.
And now he's like a dude you don't want to pitch to. I mean, he's just not hitting home runs. He's turning on balls and fucking hitting some hard.
Well, he's also changed his stance. He's opened up a little bit more. So he can turn
a decent amount more.
But my issue with Ben Rice is that he's a dead red hitter. He's having a lot of trouble at off speed.
Yeah, but you know,
but you also can't platoon Rice and Stan, because what are you going to tell Stan? as a right-handed hitter. How often does a lefty, you know, are you going to face a lefty?
You know who you can platoon him with?
Who?
Well, not platoon him, but you could start him at catcher.
Attention, sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games, offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Yeah, you can do that. I mean, but then that makes a redundancy there. You have three left-handed catchers.
I mean, as well,
the Yankees. What are you going to do? You going to get rid of Wells for JC?
Listen, I love Wells, honestly, I do, but
I don't think the Yankees love Wells. And I was.
Something's got to change.
I was probably, you know, I was excited about the Gervinho trade in the offseason just because I thought it meant that the Yankees were going to commit to Wells, and I still now we're sitting here on June 2nd. I just don't feel like the Yankees want to marry him.
You know what I think the worst thing they could have done was not just let him settle at the top of the lineup.
Exactly. I've said that numerous times, that you spend all spring training with him at the top of the lineup. He gets one game there, and then now it's – that was it. And he hit a
home
run.
And the one game he hit a home run in the first pitch.
It just didn't make a lot of sense to me. And then, you know, I think lineup consistency is a thing.
Yeah, I've been preaching it for years, and we got it for the most part last year. And
well, you know, there's people that don't believe in that.
Those people are the same idiots that sit behind a computer and tell you, you know, all these stupid stats matter more than what you see in front of your face.
So I'm just looking at the box score from yesterday. You know, Trent Grisham, I don't know what to believe with him, because he had a good series here. A couple, you know, he had the home run, couple hits. He's got an 865 OPS on the season. He's hitting 253, which doesn't sound like a lot, but for Trent Grisham, it's...
when you put that together with how great he is defensively.
He's got, you know, 13 home runs. But the problem is that the Yankees need to play Jason Dominguez every day. They have to play Jason Dominguez every day.
Yeah.
It's crazy when... Look, he's got the dumb contusion. He doesn't think it's a big deal. We'll see what happens. But you listen to Cone on the broadcast last night, and this is a problem a lot of people have had. The Yankees tell you that Jason Dominguez needs the reps in left field, but they don't play him every day.
It's crazy.
And then when they do play him, he plays two-thirds of the game because they take him out for defense.
It's crazy. It makes no sense. And, I mean, it makes sense when a tough play is, you know, a tough ball's hit to Bellinger out there and he makes a phenomenal play, but that can't be a long-term solution here with a guy at the caliber of, you know, what Dominguez is supposed to be for us. It doesn't make sense.
The overall numbers on Dominguez, I'll read them to you right here. They might not jump off at the page at you because he's hit in 247 with a 765 OPS, 117 OPS plus, six home runs, 25 RBIs. But they might not jump off at the page to you, but the majority of those numbers are top two amongst all rookies in the American League.
Wow.
He's a really good hitter. I'm not coming at you here, but you've been very busy. You're coaching your son's team, so you're not as locked into the team as you have been in years past, especially you've distanced yourself from the show, so you don't have to be as well, right?
Yes, true.
But watch this kid's at-bats, especially from the left side.
From the left side, he's a completely different hitter, first of all. He has a much better approach. He's much more confident.
And patient.
And
he
patient.
He has a great mastery of the strike zone from the left side.
Well, being confident and patient kind of go hand in hand. It's tough to be patient when you're not confident in how you're seeing the ball. And him from the left side, I'm telling you right now, it almost got to a point for me just within the first few weeks of me just thinking this guy should not even leave the left side of the plate. There was another hitter like that in recent years.
Oswaldo Cabrera was a guy
who
was
trying Cabrera.
To batting right-handed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes it makes sense.
There was times that he would bat lefty against lefty.
Yeah, sometimes it makes sense to think that that's how good of a hitter he is from the left side. But this argument it's so ridiculous to me because this isn't just some guy, some kid that we're trying out. This is a guy that the Yankees keep telling us over and over that they're committing to. And this isn't a long-term solution for a guy that you're truly committed to. It's just not. And so they keep gaslighting you. Want to go back to our gaslighting days. They keep gaslighting you on Dominguez here. And it's just like, let the kid play. Let him fail. But let it happen. If he's your solution, then I need to see him.
We've talked about this a lot. They live with every single growing pain Anthony Volpe has given them, but they just are unwilling to do it with Jason Dominguez. And I don't want to hear the counter argument that, well, who's going to play shortstop? We have Grisham and Bellinger. And you can't, when Volpe's in one of his deep valleys, you can't let, you know, when Cabrera was healthy or Peraza or somebody. You can't let somebody play a game or two just to give the kid a breather. No, they ran him out there every single day, which they don't do with Jason Dominguez. And here, this is out of his six home runs, he's hit five against right-handed pitching. Out of his 25 RBIs, he has 19 against right-handed pitching. He has 17 walks against righties to eight against lefties. He bats 288 left-handed, 157 right-handed. He slugs 477 left-handed, 294 right-handed. OPS at 854 left-handed, 573 right-handed.
Unbelievable. It's an unbelievable difference. It's almost like what's the value of being a switch hitter when you're that much better from the left side of the
plate. If I told you Jason Dominguez finished 288 with an 854 OPS on the season, you'd think he had a pretty special year, especially with his first
absolutely
career. And that's what he's doing left-handed, but he's just been abysmal right-handed. And I don't know what it is, man. You see how he's got that helicopter swing like Miguel Andujar right-handed?
Yep.
I don't know.
That's what I mean by he stays within himself so much more on the left side. Not to go off topic, but I did want to bring this up and ask you. Juice balls for the Dodger series, you think?
People mentioned it. I don't know.
Oh, really? That was a talking point?
I've seen it brought up a couple of times.
First thing I thought when Judge hit one out and then Otani. I think they were juiced.
Maybe in game one.
I think they were juiced.
So we got to talk about Aaron Judge for a minute because I said, the Rockies won tonight. They got their 10th win of the season.
Nice.
I said we weren't going to let a show go by without mentioning Aaron Judge because it's just ridiculous that sometimes we forget to mention him because it's just you take his greatness for granted. So on June 2nd, he's batting .391 with a 21 home run, 50 runs batted in, and 1249 OPS.
You're to a point where you look and he's under 400 and you're disappointed. Like this guy is every year you think you've said and seen everything you could with the guy. And then he just, now he's starting to get a little bit more on his home run tear where he's hitting a few over the last couple games. If this guy's going to start lighting it up and hitting the ball over the fence every other game like he normally does and hit for average, I don't even know what to say anymore, man. I just don't.
I really, honestly, you might think I'm crazy in saying
that. I'm going to agree with you with what you're about to say.
What am I about to say?
He hasn't even gotten hot yet.
I don't think he's really gotten hot yet this year.
Well, you can't because he hasn't. I mean, that's how good this guy is.
I really, truly don't think Aaron Judge has gotten hot yet this year.
Aaron Judge is hot when he has a stretch of like 20 games where he's just on a home run tear and they can't get him out. I'm not saying 21 home runs right now is anything to sneeze at, but you've been seeing more of an Aaron Judge who is roping the ball and keeping it in the stadium, and that's very impressive with 21 home runs. But we know what happens when this guy goes on his real hot streak where any mistake he gets, he'll hit doubles and singles, whatever. But if you truly give him a mistake, if you hang a slider, it is not staying anywhere close to inside the ballpark. And he hasn't given you that stretch yet, which is why I personally think that he might be getting there right now, I'm telling you.
I don't know if you've seen the quotes on X, but Bob Nightingale wrote an article about Aaron Judge, and it's one of those puff pieces where there's just like a lot of people coming out saying a lot of really nice things about Aaron Judge. This is an excerpt from it from IKF. You remember him?
Mm-hmm.
He said, so apparently it says Judge organizes team dinner on the road. He rents out the entire restaurant and he picks up the tab. And then this is a quote from IKF. He says, he's an amazing human being. I think the coolest thing about him is that anytime you're around him, he makes you feel like you're on his level, like you're the same type of player. He brings confidence and swagger to you as a player, as a person, and he's always there for you. On top of that, he's the best player in the world. I can't imagine how he does it all.
I got to tell you, like, you want to talk real quick about, like, innocence of a kid? So my son has become a huge Yankee fan. Like, I'm talking to a point where he watches every pitch now. I'll go in his room on like a Saturday when he has nothing to watch and he's watching either Yankee classics or the replay of the game that he watched the night before. And so he's like in tune. I always talk to him about how amazing Judge is. And he starts fighting me the other day that Otani's the best player in baseball. I'm like, Judge, I'm like, Jack, no, he's not. It's Aaron Judge. It's not even close right now. And he goes, and then finally it comes out. He goes, No, Daddy, I Googled it. Google told me. Shohei Ohtani. I'm like, Jack, I got to teach you, man. I got to teach you about Google.
So this is in the article, just read this real quick, on how he courted Paul Goldschmidt. He goes, I remember shooting him a message. Hey, man, we got a little vacancy at first base. I think you'd fit in perfect. This is the type of culture and environment you were born for. The thing I try to tell a lot of the guys who come here, even if they were on other teams, that they were meant to be a Yankee. Paul Goldschmidt was meant to be a Yankee.
Oh, dude. You tickle your balls to a message like that from Aaron Judge.
So,
wow.
I mean, Judge had some other quotes, but this is from Trent Grisham. He goes, everybody just sees what he does on the field, and it's like, man, he's the best player, but I think he's more valuable in how he runs the clubhouse, how he carries himself, how he shoulders all the media attention and all the pressure and is still able to have a smile on his face and be the best guy in the clubhouse and taking care of everybody. He just changes the whole place.
Wow.
I mean, let's be clear, you've had issues with him being a leader. And
I still do.
They love this guy.
I'm not saying that he's not a great leader, but until he puts some hardware on his finger, I can't.
Look, and after the last postseason, I mean, you can't say that he did. He hasn't. How am I trying to say this? You can say to a point that it's not his fault also, but also last year, I don't know. Even if he hits 600 in that World Series, do things change that much? I don't know.
If he doesn't drop that ball, maybe. You could just go as simple as that.
Yeah, but he's too – I mean, for that to be his legacy, he's too good for that to be his legacy.
I don't think it will stand. Yankees get back to the postseason, which, you know, at this point they better – I think Aaron Judge is having such a good year, not just hitting home runs, but just overall again, because I think, and he'll never be vocal about this. We'll never know about it, but I think he turned on another gear this off season. I think behind the scenes, Aaron Judge did double what he's normally doing to prove a point this year. And I don't think he wants to live with this hanging over his head anymore.
Yeah. I mean, we've looked at that play 1,000 times and his eyes were off the ball. He was looking at the runner at first base. And I just don't, when does he ever make a mistake like that?
Never.
And he'll never do it again in his life. It's just, it happened.
I know, I was there.
And it's Anthony Rizzo's fault. They lost the game.
Yeah, you could even you go back to that play. Not that I want to fucking talk about this, dude. I mean, if you were going to bring me on here to talk about this, I would have said no. But you could, you know, I saw the play again with Volpe going to third. That's a makeable play. You got to make that play.
Yeah, but it's 3 out of 3, though.
Yeah, but yeah.
It's definitely the hardest one. It's the most forgivable too.
Yeah, but it's still just so weird to me that
run to first base, you dumbass. Like, what do we?
It's still so weird to me that even as bad as the Yankees might have been, you know, in the grand scheme of things defensively, to make 3 errors like that, maybe not errors technically. I don't know if the Volpe one was an error, scored an error, but to misplay three balls like that and end the World Series is just so odd to me. Like, 3 plays where we can sit here and say they all should have been made. And maybe the Yankees go back to LA and things change.
But that was the thing too, man. That's why this series was so important for the Yankees to just play good baseball. They talk so much shit all offseason about the Yankees.
I forgot about that, shit they talked.
Bro, and that's what, you know, I never brought it up. It's partially my fault in all the videos that I made over the weekend and all the people that I was talking to. So I never brought this up, but the Dodgers talk so much shit all off season.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take any of that away, but man, you just wanted to come out there on Friday and punch them in the mouth. And they did that for what, 5.5 innings?
Yeah.
And then they just, man, you know what it was? It reminded me of, it's like a boxing match, man. It's like you get like the first couple of hits in, like you're fighting like Mike Tyson, and you just like, and yeah, it just blasted you. He's like, all right, I'm done. That was fun. I let you have your couple of hits.
Yeah, they manhandled them.
And they did not even show up on Saturday. It was really bad.
Yep.
So, like, yeah, you know, to kind of bring this home and bring this full circle here, no, the Yankees are fine. I think we are all in agreement. The Yankees are fine. This weekend doesn't mean the Yankees are going to win 12 games the rest of the year and not make the postseason. And maybe a lot of that does have to do with my feelings towards the American League, that I don't see anybody really challenging the Yankees. You know, take the Tigers out of it. But I'm talking mainly like the American League East, of really challenging the Yankees. But I also think the Yankees are a really good baseball team. But you just want to get back out there on the field against a team that clowns you on the field and then just couldn't stop running their mouths all offseason after they took the title. You just wanted to go out there and just quiet it down for a couple of days here. Because then what was it? Oh, the Dodgers are so much better. The Dodgers are so much better. And then it's all they talked about all throughout Friday, all throughout Saturday, all throughout Sunday, is that the Yankees aren't on this level. The Yankees aren't where, you know, it's the American, he's a product of the American League. And it didn't change the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I wanted this series to do, was to change the conversation around the Yankees, because I do think this is a really good baseball team. I don't think they are as good as the Dodgers, but I didn't think they were as good as the Dodgers coming into the season either. But what I wanted them to do is to just kind of like erase some of that bad taste that they had in their mouth, because yeah, you know, the teams have changed here and there, but you know, the core of the Yankees is still there. The core of the Dodgers is still there. You know, even Dave Roberts, the friggin' manager, was talking a bunch of shit too.
Yep.
You could have not, you're not getting that title flashed back from last year. You lost it, but you could have at least let them know, like, hey, we're done listening to you run your mouths. We meet up again. Things are going to be different. You think the Dodgers, if the Dodgers are playing the Yankees in the World Series this year, they have any fear of the Yankees after what happened this weekend?
Nope.
That's why, to me, this series was so important. Put the doubt in the Dodgers' mind, because they didn't throw Snell or Glasnow. They threw two guys that if everybody's healthy, they're not in the rotation. Now, you know, that's a baseball Susan moment on Sunday. The Yankees win the one game where you look at the pitching matchup not being in their advantage,
yeah, right,
versus Yamamoto. But still, I don't know, man. This was important to me as a fan, and I think if the Yankees are being honest to you, I think they will tell you that it was important to them, especially the guys that were there last year.
I think if they told you anything other than that, it'd be a problem. It should be important, man. You wanted to go out there, but I still think it's more of a personal thing that you're feeling, more than a sense of that this team can't go back to the World Series against the Dodgers and have a different outcome. I just think it's more of a personal, in-the-moment thing, that this is what we wanted and we didn't get it right now. And so that's why I'm not worried about it.
I still think they can get to the World Series. I didn't, my opinion on that has not changed, but I wanted this weekend to be was 2007 final game of the season, Giants Patriots.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that.
Mm-hmm.
You lose, but you showed that you could play with these guys. And the Yankees didn't show that this weekend. I'm sorry. We can disagree about on that.
Oh, part. No. I get exactly what you're saying. I'm just telling you, I don't walk away from this saying it's impossible to beat this team and that they can't.
But what this series did show again more than anything is the Yankees cannot slip up at all. They have to play the best brand of baseball and not make one mistake against this team.
That's always been true against this team, though. So they gotta find
just,
a way.
But that just shows the gap between the two teams. If the Yankees play their game and they don't slip up, yeah, they can beat the Dodgers. I don't think the Dodgers are that far ahead of the Yankees, where if the Yankees play their game, the game that we've seen them play through the majority of the first 55 games of the season before they came into LA, you can sit there and say the Yankees stand no chance. But that's how the Yankees have to play perfect baseball against the Dodgers.
Yeah.
You want to rip Anthony Volpe, or you just want to get off?
Yeah, I'll get off. I'll say goodbye. I'll say this, though, real quick about Volpe.
I wanted to give you – everybody's got an opinion on Volpe, so I want to give you a minute here.
It's tough for me because I actually like Anthony Volpe. I think that if everything were perfect and what we were told, that not only would he be a great player, but he'd be someone that I loved to have out there. And you know, I like him out there. I think he's great defensively, everything. And for a while this season, I was completely done. And I'm at least at a point now where I'm like, okay, maybe he can put something together. But I'm telling you right now, man, I have no hope in him ever even being close to the player we were sold on.
I mean, if you want to look at what Volpe's done so far this year, it's not terrible, and it's definitely
that's what I mean.
It's definitely an improvement from where he's been in years past. He's hitting .239. Foosh.
Wow, it's that low.
But that's 10 points higher than his career average, and the OPS is what I've been harping on a lot with him, and it's currently, the hell is it? Where is the numbers here? I mean, it's .747. His highest in his career has been .666. I mean,
what was his highest?
.666.
I mean, that's a huge improvement.
He's technically an above average major league hitter because his OPS plus is .111.
Yeah, but two things can be true at once. We can sit here and say, oh, he definitely improving right now. Maybe he's going to get better. Maybe he's going to be a decent shortstop for this team. He will, I'm still convinced, and it would take a lot for me to feel otherwise, that he is not and will not ever be the player, even a fraction of the player that we were sold. That's how high the Yankees sold this kid on us.
No, he'll never, you know what, the way he plays, he'll never be an all-star, but he'll be a, he's going to, you know what, the way he plays defense and the improvements that he's made, especially this year, thus far, and he'll probably be a 4-WAR player, which means something to some people, not as much to me as when you, like you said, you have a certain level of expectation, especially that the team set on him, that the Yankees aren't looking at shortstop as an area where they need to improve.
Right.
So, but the Yankees are coming home here after a long West Coast trip. They got 6 games coming up here. 6 before their next off day here. They play Cleveland 3 and then Boston 3. And then it's all 7:05 this week. It's Tanner Bibee is going to face Carlos Rodon, who Rodon was actually in consideration to start on Sunday night, but Boone said that he wasn't recovering as well as he should have after his last start. So they gave him an extra couple days here. So he'll be starting on Tuesday night. And then we got Ortiz against Clark Schmidt on Wednesday. And then to close it out, all 7:05 starts is Cession. Is that how you say it? It's, against Max Fried. And I'm really interested in seeing all three of these guys pitch this week for the Yankees. One, was Rodon just like maybe just a little beat up, you know, as we hit the 2-month mark here, and you know, just a little extra sore, or is this something that is going to become an issue here?
Well, the last time we heard something to the effect of didn't recover as quickly was when we first started hearing about Cole's arm, just saying. So it doesn't make me feel good.
I don't think he's headed that down that path. Is that what you're talking about?
No. But it just still doesn't make me feel good.
No, why should it? But then you got Clark Schmidt on Wednesday night, who had a really good start in Anaheim. So let's see if him build upon that, because he's still a guy that has not put it all together yet this year.
Yes. I think he will.
He's still been a little uneven coming back from that injury. And then Max Fried against a good Cleveland team. How does he rebound after his first truly bad start as a Yankee?
That's what I'm most excited to see, to be honest. And I think he'll be dominant.
So that's the Yankees look ahead this week. And then we'll be back here next Monday on another Monday off day to take a look at the week that was in Yankee baseball. So join us here. Make sure you are subscribed on this podcast platform so you don't miss anything from the NYYST podcast. And leave us a 5-star rating and review while you're there. We're not going to be back on the U until June 19th, but if you're checking out anything Pete's doing over there, make sure you are subscribed to NYY Underground as well. And tell everybody NYYST is the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. Chris, thank you, brother, for sitting in, man. And, you know, like I said, it took a minute there to remember how to ride the bike, and then it was just like riding a bike.
Right on it, baby. No, this is fun. I said my schedule frees up a lot in the upcoming months, so I definitely want to join more.
So definitely want to keep everybody tuned in here, and then, you know, hopefully we can get everybody back together during the All-Star break is what my goal was. But, you know, you guys, I always tell you and Ryan, you guys are always welcomed anytime. You know, we love to have you. The fans always love seeing you guys back here too, because I do, especially when Ryan's on, the chat just goes nuts. Even though we're live tonight, the chat just goes nuts for SGR. But it was good having you, man. Appreciate you joining me. Hopefully my cousin had a good time down at his bachelorette party this weekend. So I want to thank everybody for your continued support of the show, and want to thank everybody for listening to episode 370. Chris, say goodbye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.